Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Nozir Daf Mem Hey. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a specially marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage and then go to option 2. If you're already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the marked Daf before the shiur. If you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. Today's shiur begins 13 lines from the top. You'll notice a new Mishnah. The bow tie marking that you see in the text follows from the bow tie that you saw on the previous Daf, on Daf Mem Dalim Abayz, where we feature Tiglachas Tuma, here Tiglachas Hatahara. The haircut taken at the end of a successfully completed Nazirus observance. Successfully meaning without the Tuma consideration. Or even if there was Tuma, but at the end of the properly observed balance of the Nazirus, we have a haircut taken in Tahara. Tahara meaning purity. The Mishnah. Tiglachas Hatahara Ketzad. Hoya Ketzad meaning how does it take place? Hoya Mevi Gimel Behemos. The Nazir, upon the completion of his Nazirus, he brings three animal sacrifices. Chatos, Oila, Ushlamim. A sin offering, a burnt offering, and the Shlamim, peace offering. Veshochet es Ashlamim Umegaleach Alehem, Divrei Rebbe Yehuda. He slaughters the Shlomim, and based on the offering of the Shlomim, he takes the haircut. That's the opinion of Rebbe Yehuda. Rebbe Lozer Omer, Lo hoye megaleach elo al hachatos. The haircut would be taken after the chatos is sacrificed. Shachatos kridemes b'chol mokim. The first sacrifice to be offered, wherever a series of sacrifices is offered, is the chatos. V'im gilach al achas mishloshton yotza. If, however, he offered another sacrifice first, and based on that, he took his haircut, he is nevertheless fulfilling his obligation. Reb Shimon ben Gamliel Oimer, Hevi Gimel Behemos, Velo Piresh, a Nazir who brings three animals and doesn't identify them verbally, doesn't sanctify them specifically, Haru'uyo Lechatos Tikrav Chatos, the one that's fit to be brought as a Chatos will be offered as a Chatos. A Chatos comes from a female goat or sheep within a year of age, a one-year-old animal, and that would be the one fit to be a Chatos. The Ola comes from a male type animal, a male sheep or goat. That would be fit for the Ola. Rashi says, Keves Zohar Ben Shna, so a sheep of 1 year old. And the one, Shlomim, Tikrav Shlomim. A Shlomim is a 2 year old ram in the case of a Nazir. As you can see, we have a rather long Tanaic source, and it will continue till the Mishnah on Amud Beis. On the side of the Gemara, we have a topic heading, Droshos al HaPosuk, V'gilach HaNozir Pesach Ol Moed. A number of different approaches to explain, to darshan, that particular Posuk, which translates as the Nozir will take his haircut at the entrance to the Oil Moed. We'll see later that that's not necessary to be understood literally, according to many of the opinions. V'gilach anozir Pesach Oil Moed Chule. That's the pasuk b'shlomim hakosuv medaber. This is a reference to the haircut taken after the Shlomim Korban is offered. Shneamar, it says in the case of the Shlomim, in a different context, it says, V'shachtoi Pesach, Chol Moed. So you can see we've dashed, underlined that expression that you find in the Pasuk that deals with the Nazir, and in this other Pasuk, which is written in the case of the Shlomim Korban. So that the expression Pesach Chol Moed clues you into the idea that when dealing with the Nazir, it's after the Shlomim was sacrificed, the Nazir takes his haircut. Tosfos points out, Tosfos is found on the top of Omid Beis throughout this Masechta. You've seen the Tosfos in our not always located in their exact proper location. Nevertheless, Tosfos says that this drosha is in accordance with the opinion of Reb Yehuda that we saw in the Mishnah, that it's based on the slaughtering, the offering, the sacrificing of the Shlomim Korban that enables the Nazir to take his final haircut. So the Gemara continues, Ata Oimer B'Shlomo Kosev Udaber O Eino Elo Pesach Oil Moed Mamish. You're saying that the Pesach Oil Moed expression is an alternative expression for Korban Shlomo. Maybe, though, it means literally that the Nazir shall take his haircut at the entrance of the enclosed section part of the Mishkan or the Beis HaMikdash. Amris, the Gemara responds, Im Kain, if you were to take the Pasuk on its literal meaning, that he takes his haircut at the entrance to this very, very holy location, the Ohel Moed, Derech Bizoyon Hu, that's a disgrace. Haircuts are not associated with the, honorable, lofty activity. It's true, it's part of a mitzvah, but it's not something that one would do in such a holy location. So, with that, we'll say svara, the Gemara dismisses the simple or literal meaning of the pasuk and opts to interpret it as a reference to the Korban Shlomim. The Gemara goes on to elaborates on this point, and we're following the reading as suggested by the Gra, Veharei Omra Torah. The Torah has said in the construction of the Mizbeach, the altar, which was rather tall structure in the courtyard of the Beis HaMikdash, it said, Lo sale b'malois al mizbechi, that in rising to the top of the altar, one should not rise walking up steps, but rather using a ramp. There would be less, we'll say, revelation of the legs or the underpart of the Kohen's body in that way. The Torah was very concerned with modesty and dignity, and that's what this pasuk represents. Lo sale b'malos mizbechi, kal v'chomer l'derech bizayon. All the more so where an act is associated with something that is disgraceful, a haircut. It's maybe disgraceful is too harsh a term, but it's not an act of honor, we will say, and therefore it's certainly not going to be done at the entrance to the Ohel Moed, or the enclosed section of the Beis HaMikdash. Divrei Rabbi Yoshia. You'll notice that a number of lines are being skipped now. We pick up, after the parentheses section, Rabbi Yitzchok Omer. Even if it wasn't a Derech Bizayon, Rabbi Yitzchok will tell us he would not take the haircut at the entrance of the Ohel Moed. Rabbi Yitzchok Omer Eino Tzorech. You don't need that former approach. Harei hu Omer v'lokach es seor rosh nizro v'nosan al ho'esh v'chule. The pasuk describes the taking of the hair after it was cut and placed on the fire underneath the pot in which the shlomim meat is being cooked. The shlomim meat could be eaten anywhere in Yerushalayim, and therefore it could be cooked anywhere in Yerushalayim. If you are going to say that the haircut is restricted to the entrance of the Oyel Moed, Well, then, from that point, from the haircut point to where the fire under the pot cooking the korban meat is located, is quite a distance. It's not something that you just hand off from the haircut directly to under the pot. And the pasuk said, "V'lokach aser rosh nizro v'nosan." You have lokach taking the hair and immediately placing it on the fire. Mi she'eino mechuser elo lekicho nesina. What the Torah anticipates is a taking of the hair, and without missing any interim activity, immediately placing it under the pot where the fire is cooking the korban meat. Yotzozeh, this would be to the exclusion of a case where the haircut would be at the entrance of the Ol Moed, Shu Mechuser Lekicha Havo'ah Unesina, Havo'ah being transportation. If you look at the Tosis once again on Omid Beis, Velo, this is the third Tosis on Omid Beis, Velo v'mishim Mechuser Havo'ah Lekicha Unesina, Sharei Shlomim Necholin Bechol Ha'ir. As we explained before, the Shlomim is eaten wherever you are in Yerushalayim, within the city of Yerushalayim. Ve'im Megaleach Pesach Ol Moed, the dud is the cauldron, the dud shlomim bo'ir, if the haircut was at the entrance of the Ohel Moed, that's in the Beis HaMikdash proper, and the meat is being cooked somewhere in town, harei mechuser havo lekicha unesina, the havo stage would also be necessary, so you would have an interruption, so to speak, between the taking of the hair and immediately placing it on the fire. So, with that approach, Reb Yitzchok excludes the haircut being specifically or limited to the Pesach Ol Moed. Iko Diamri, another approach to Reb Yitzchok, Reb Yitzchok Omer, Bishlomim Hakosuv Medaber. The Pasuk is speaking about a Korban Shlomim. We should point out that the next few lines until Abba Chonon, according to the Gra, a number of commentaries do not include this in the text. It's a girsa that's not accepted. There are those, though, that read it, but recognize that it's essentially the same as the first, the opening Lashon, combined with the point that Rav Yitzchok made. Or I should say that Rabbi Yoshia made. So we'll read it, but understanding there's not going to be any chiddush, nothing new in this section. So another version of Yitzchok reads, Rabbi Yitzchok Omer, B'shlom Kosev Medaber, the posuk of Vigila Chanozer Pesach Olmoid is a reference to the Korban Shlomim. Ata Omer, B'shlom Kosev Medaber, O Eino Elo Pesach Olmoid, Ohel Mohid Mamish. You're saying that the posuk is a code for the Korban Shlomim. Maybe it means simply that the haircut takes place literally at the entrance of the Beis HaMikdash. Tamad Lomar V'lokach Es Seor Rosh Nizro. Pasuk also goes on to say V'nosan Aleisha Shetacha Zevach HaShlomim Mokom Shehoyo Mevasheel Shom Hoyo Magaleach. From the Pasuk that says he takes the hair and places it on the fire under the pot where the Korban is being cooked, we understand that the hair is cut at the place that the meat is being cooked. And the meat is not being cooked at the entrance to the Ohel Moed. And therefore, that is not the location for the haircut. Abba Chonon Omer Mishum Rabbi Eliezer V'gilach HaNozir Pesach Ohel Moed. What does he learn from that pasuk? Calls man she'ein pesach ol moed pasuach eino megalech. As long as the gate, the doors of the pesach of the ohel moed are not open, there is no haircut to take place. In other words, he's understanding the pasuk as describing the timing of the haircut. The timing is only when the doors are open. Reb Shimon Shizuri Omer v'gilach hanozir pesach ol moed. Again, the same pasuk. Velo mizira. So he looks at the gender of the pasuk, the nozir, the male. In the male form, he takes his haircut at the entrance, and his approach is quite a departure from that which we've seen earlier that, namely that the haircut of a male nazir is actually at the entrance of the Ohel Moed, v'lo nazira, but not the female. The a female nazira, she too has a haircut that's taken, but it's not going to be in such a public location. She would find a more tsanua, a more modest, private location. The Gemara continues with an explanation of why Rav Shimon Shuzuri says that. Shemo yizgaru ba pirchei kuluna. If the female nazira is taking her haircut in such a public location, the pirchei kuluna, the young kohanim, might become aroused by her, and that's of course not a it's a very undesirable moral situation. We don't want the men being aroused by the presence of a woman taking her haircut in such a public setting. Omar lo, so they said to Rav Shimon Shuzuri, Lidvorecha, according to you, then Soita Tochiach, let the case of the Sota prove to the contrary. Dichtiv ba, the Sota is a married woman suspect of immorality, and the Sota ceremony involves, we'll say, a certain amount of physical exposure of the woman. Her head covering is taken off, and she stands, and it says in the Pasuk, V'emido lifnei Hashem, she stood in the Azara in a very public setting, V'lo chashinon shem yizgaru bo pirchei kahuna, and we're not concerned over there with the Sota ceremony, the ceremony that's designed to establish her guilt or innocence. We're not concerned with the possible arousal of the young men folk kohanim. Omar lohem, so Rav Shimon Shuzuri responded, how can you compare the case of the Sota, the case of the Nazira? Zu kocheles upokeses. Kocheles and pokeses are different forms of, we'll say, cosmetics. Zu eino kocheles upokeses. I'm not sure you have to take this literally, but the point is that the Nazira, it's true she shaves off her hair, but she's entitled to beautify herself with cosmetics. And the Sota woman, the whole point of the Sota ceremony is to denigrate and disparage her. It's a shameful ceremony. And being that it's a shameful ceremony, one doesn't have to worry in the case of the Sota of the menfolk being aroused. But the arousal possibility remains with regard to the Nazira, with regard to the Nazir woman, if it were done so publicly. Hence, Shimon Shuzuri sticks to his drasha that only a man would have his hair shaved at the entrance to the Ohel Moed, and not the woman. The Mishnah, Hoya Noitel Seo Rosh Nizro, the hair of the Nazir would be taken, Umishaleach Tachas Hadud, and would be placed under the cauldron, the pot, in which the korban is being cooked, V'im Gilach B'Medina, if the haircut took place outside the Beis HaMikdash, Medina meaning in Jerusalem, as opposed to the Beis HaMikdash, Lo Hoya Mishaleach Tachas Hadud, then there would be no placing of the hair under the cauldron. Bamed vamurim b'tiglachas hatara. This is true with regard to the concluding haircut of a regular, properly observed nazirus. Avo b'tiglachas hatuma, the haircut that's required after a nazir becomes defiled in the middle of his nazirus, lo hoya mishaleach tachas hadud. The hair from that haircut was not placed under the pot where the nazir tome korbonos were being cooked. Rabbi Meir Omer Hakol Mishalchin Tachas Hadud Chutz Min Hatome Sheba Medina Bilvad. Rabbi Meir says all cases of nazir haircuts, the hair is placed under the pots, with the only exception being the tome haircut done outside the Beis HaMikdash, done in the Medina. The Gemara continues with a Dibur HaMasl from the Mishnah, Hoya Noitel Seo Rosh Nizro. Before we go further in the Gemara, on the side we have a, say, a topic heading, Nesinas Seir Nozir Tachas Adud Sheboi Mizbashil HaKorban. We're going to elaborate on this topic of the placing of the hair in the fire under the pot cooking up the Nozir Korban. Tanu Rabbanan, V'achakach Notel Es HaRoitev V'noisein Al Seir Rosh Nizro. After the haircut, while the korban meat is cooking in the pot, the rotev is the gravy. Some gravy is taken from the pot in which the sacrifice meat is cooking, and that gravy was poured over the hair, the cut hair, umeshalech tachas hadud shel shlomim, and then that, we'll call that now wet hair, as a result of the gravy added to it, that is put in the fire under the pot cooking up the shlomim sacrifice. We pointed out earlier that the nazir at the end of his nazirus brings three different korbanos, a chatas, an ola, and a shlomim. The ola is not cooked up, it's completely burnt on the altar. The chatas, though, is also cooked, it's consumed by the kohanim. So the source tells us, v'im shilach tachas adud shel chatos v'osham yotza. If the hair was placed under the pot where the chatos or osham are cooking, he is fulfilling his requirements. The Gemara asks, the presence of the osham in this source seems to be incongruous. Osham b'nozir tor mi'ika, and osham, is it part of the sacrifices that a Nozir Tor brings? This source talks about a Shlomim, and hence you know you're talking about a Nozir Tor. The Osham is a sacrifice brought by a Nozir who became Tomei. So how do you mix a Osham into this source? Omar Rava Hochi Ka'omar Ve'im Nozir Tomei Mishaleach Tachas Hadud Shel Osham Yotza. If the Nozir Tomei, who requires a haircut, takes the hair and puts it under the pot in which the osham is cooking, he has fulfilled his requirements. Minohani mili. From where do we know that the gravy is added to the hair? Omar Rava, Omar Kro, Asher Tachas Zevach Hashlomim. That's the posuk, and we darshan the posuk mizivcho Yehei Tachtov. That means from the korban, not the meat itself, but from the gravy in which the meat is cooking, there shall be underneath it in the fire, under the pot. And that's accomplished by adding the gravy to the hair, which is placed under the pot. V'im shilach tachas adud shel chatas yotza, mai taimo. From where do we know that the placing of the hair under the chatos pot, he's also in fulfillment, when after all the original pasuk which says Asher Tachas Zevach HaShlomim. So how do you include from a pasuk that deals with the korban shlomim even the korban chatos? Omar Kro, the pasuk used the word zevach. It said Zevach HaShlomim. It didn't say Asher Tachas HaShlomim, but it added the word zevach. The rabbis es hachatos veosham. It includes, zevach means a sacrifice. So we're including these other sacrifices as also legitimate locales for the hair to be placed. The Gemara asks, v'ho afikdei l'hai zevach l'roitiv. We used the word zevach already before for a reference to the gravy. So the word zevach is already used for a different purpose. How can you say that zevach is here to include a chatos and osham? The Gemara answers, im kain, if it's only for the gravy, leimo kro meirotev hashlamim. My zevach, why use the word zevach if all you're interested in is the gravy? Its purpose is to include the chatos and osham as sites for the placing of the hair. Maybe that's the sole purpose of the word zevach and not for the gravy. Im kain, leimo Shlomim Uzebach. If the whole purpose of the Pasuk is simply to include other sacrifices and not to teach the idea of from the Shlomim there goes under the pot, i.e. the Rotev, so the Pasuk would have said Shlomim Uzebach, my Zebach HaShlomim. By the fact that the Pasuk is constructed that way, Zebach HaShlomim, Shma Mino Tarti, I conclude both points. The inclusion of Chatas and Osham plus the Rotev addition to the hair. The Tosfos in the lower part of the page, on the first of the widest lines, he says, Im kein le makra shlomim uzevach, mai zevach hashlomim, midesomach zevach hashlomim, le midrash. From the fact that the Pasuk is constructed that way, zevach hashlomim, it teaches me, tachas hashlomim, ye min hazevach. That's also part of the teaching. We continue in the Gemara, Tanu Rabbanan, Hakol hoyu mishalchen tachas adud, chutz mitomei shegilach b'medina, and all the different, we'll say, nozir haircut possibilities. The hair was placed under the cauldron, with the exception of the tuma haircut done outside the Beis HaMikdash. Mipnei shesairo nikbar, divrei Rabbi Meir. A nozir tomei haircut done outside the Beis HaMikdash, the rule concerning that hair is that it is to be buried. Tosfos points out that lo nisparish milon nolan, he says that we don't know where that is learned from, but we're working with that as simply a given. That's Rabbi Meir. Now, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, tahorim, when it comes to the nozir tohor haircut, the hair from them, kan v'kan hoyu mishachin, whether it's a haircut done in the Beis HaMikdash or a haircut done outside the Beis HaMikdash, the hair was placed under the korban pots. Temeim, kan v'kan lo hoyu mishachin. When it comes to a nozir tomei haircut, wherever it took place, whether it be in the Medina or the Mikdash, it was not placed under the pot. V'chachomim omrim hakol lo hoyu mishalchen tachas adud. Notice there's a third opinion that in none of the nozir haircut situations would the hair be placed under the pot. Chutz min hator shebe mikdash. With that exception, the haircut done in the Beis HaMikdash by a Nozir Tohor, because that is, we'll say, the optimum situation, the best way for things to take place. Certainly, it's best that there was no Tumah involved, and best by way of, the choice location. Before we conclude, let us remind you that if you wish to be in touch with us in order to access marked Gemaras, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.